could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California, for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We stretch the limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I am proud to welcome Karen Rao Carter. Karen, are you there?
I sure am.
Great. Well, so happy to have you. I'd like to introduce you to our listeners first before we ask you some amazing questions. Karen is a professional feng shui educator, consultant, and best-selling author of Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. She coaches, trains, and empowers people to use simple and advanced feng shui techniques to enrich and improve all areas of one's lives. Karen has over 20 years of experience studying and implementing methods and modalities that produce consistent and some say even miraculous results. I'm sure, because I know you, that you would produce miraculous results. Karen's background is the basis for creating and developing KarenRaoCarter.com. And that is a comprehensive resource to create supportive inner and outer environments that generate amazing results. Karen's methodology integrates time-tested, researched, and newly discovered practices for bodies, minds, spirits, and surroundings. Karen is a highly sought-after motivational speaker and has shared the stage with Tony Robbins and Donald Trump. And she has spoken at hundreds of events. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you. So glad to be here. And I think we'll stick with the simple tips today instead of the simple and advanced, right? Let's have some.
Okay. I'll go for that. The simple one sounds pretty good. So tell me, first of all, I guess I would like to first understand, what is feng shui? What is a good definition of that?
Well, I think of it as a method of mindfully arranging your environment so that it supports you consistently in life as to where you want to go in life. And as opposed to just sort of getting what you get or not understanding the connections between your environment and your life. I think a lot of people, you know, they understand that you don't want to live next to a toxic waste dump, right? What's the distance you want to be away from that? You know, there are some obvious things, but where does obvious end and subtle begin? So feng shui deals with those things that you wouldn't necessarily would think are toxic, but happen to be toxic to your particular where you want to go in life. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I got a little background noise there. So I'm looking at trying to create spaces and places that say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to go. So it actually brings that towards you, makes it easy. You know, so many people say, I haven't painted in years. And I go, well, where's your easel? Where's your paints? Oh, they're under the bed in a Rubbermaid container, you know. And I'm like, well, notice them. And you know, at a subconscious level, it's kind of like you have to go through this pain in the butt kind of a thing to get everything out and set it all up. So then you just, you don't do it. You know, so how do you create an environment that truly supports what you want to do and where you want to go in life? That's what it's all about.
So then how do you, well, let's say you go to somebody's home or you're speaking, whatever. How do you approach that? For example, you just used the painting as an example. How do you approach that with somebody?
Well, it all starts with that initial conversation. And it's not a matter of what I think you should want. You know, maybe I think you should have more prosperity in your life. And trust me, I literally have feng shuied winners of lottery, you know. And you'd think, well, they won the lottery. Life is great. And believe me, sometimes it brings, you know, some strange
Yes. And because winning that kind of money brings another whole level of stress to somebody's life.
Right. So it's not up to me and what I think. It's what you want, what you're willing to do, where you're willing to make changes in your life. And some people, they know they've got a problem. They're not willing to make that change. And we can, you know, support them throughout time to where they might come up to eventually want to make that change or not. But it's up to them. So the initial conversation, they tell me where they've been, where they are, and where they want to go. And I look at the environment through all the feng shui rules. I mean, there's tons of different things to know. Like I said, we're going to stick with the simple stuff today and try to make that environment align with where they want to go. And just like that painting example, or just like, you know, I see people holding on to things that have nothing to do with where they want to spend their time. For example, I literally was in Colorado, and a woman, she said, I want to work less. I'm just working myself to the bone. She was a real estate agent. She works all weekends, and then she feels guilty not working during the week, but then she works all weekends when she shows houses and stuff. She never stops working. And she says, I want to get up the slopes. I want to get, you know, I want to do all these outdoor things that I moved to Colorado for. And then I get to her basement, and it's literally just solid, full of her parents' stuff that she is. And I said, well, what is all this stuff? And she says, well, I want to honor my parents. I really think there's a book in the history of what my parents did, how they came here, and da da da. And I'm like, that's great, but you didn't mention once in our dream where you want to go scenario that you want to take a couple years out of your life to go through all this stuff and write a book. And she was
Wow, got it. Yeah.
A lot of stuff like this thing weighing on her and another thing to do that it went, you know, I interviewed, I go, what do you want to do? What's your dream life? Not once, you know, she was out on the slopes and hiking and stuff like that. Not once did she say anything about rooting through old historical stuff and writing a book.
Wow. So amazing how people hold on, I guess, what you're telling us right now is how people hold on to things and maybe they're not aware that they're holding on to that.
Or, you know, there's a story. Oh, I need to make a scrapbook for my kids out of all this stuff. Or I need to just all these things that just are taking up little, you know, hardware space in your brain and really keeping you from fully being with, you know, the people that you're with now, where you want to go, what you want to do. And just because of all it, and literally, if you break it all down, and I mean get way down in there and break it all down, it usually ends up being guilt. There's some sort of guilt, I should. And when there's shoulds, it's not the dream. And so then we got to talk about how to honor this stuff, get rid of this stuff, do whatever we need to do this stuff to break free and get to the real you and where you want to be happy in life doing the things that you truly value. Because it's really going against your values is when you get stuck up against those shoulds. It's like, I should do this, but I really want to do this. And I put a higher value on this over here, but I should do this. And it's the level of guilt that, man, it traps people and traps people hard. You know, somebody dies and they're like, I'm just going to just put everything in the garage. I'll read through it later. And then they've got this garage just packed full of somebody else's stuff. And who is once again, how are you spending your life?
Karen, so isn't everybody's garage full of stuff? No? Okay. So I guess you mentioned a little bit ago something about some feng shui rules that might be helpful. What are some feng shui rules that you were mentioning earlier?
Well, I would say what's closest to you over the most time has the biggest impact on you. So, you know, if I literally went to a guy's house where I can't imagine what year the sheets were changed, because he literally curled up in one quarter of his bed because three quarters of the bed was stacked high with stuff. And, you know, just picture that. That, like, he just curls up in a little corner of his bed because literally his bedroom is full down to his bed. I mean, you know, so it just gets...
So he's more like a hoarder.
Kind of, you know, definitely heading in the hoarder land. I've definitely, you know, hung out with those people. Those people are very much trapped in the past. And, you know, that's a whole nother... Boy, there's a whole... go on 2 hours with that. But so just understanding that that stuff that's closest to you over the most amount of time, and people, you know, feng shui consultants pick on your bedroom because that's a for sure 7 or 8 hours out of the 24 right there. Hopefully, if you're sleeping. You know, if you're not, there's a whole other thing we got to do about actually getting you enough sleep. So your bedroom, certainly what's around you when you're sleeping and where you office or wherever you spend the majority of your day. So your desk or the equivalent of desk, you know, your workspace, your bed. And we also like to work around the stove too, because that stove is very important because it brings, you know, the food into your body. And boy, you know, what's closest to you has the most impact on you: air quality, quality food quality, you know, toxic things in your environment. So we need to watch out for that as well. And thoughts, and, you know, obviously thoughts. We're talking about changing your attitude here today. And I've seen beliefs and thoughts be clutter in people's minds that have them stuck as well.
Wow. You mentioning the stove, somehow I would think maybe more broad, maybe the kitchen. I mean, because we eat in the kitchen and so much entertainment occurs when we have guests over in our kitchen family area.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen... I don't know. I live in Southern California. Maybe it's just a weird, rare thing out here. I don't know. But some people here, my husband's a contractor, so he builds, you know, houses. And some wives literally say, well, make it pretty, but, you know, I'm never going to be in there. So I really don't really care how it functions or whatever. Where other people would be like, oh, no, the refrigerator has to be so close to my sink. And, you know, there are many people that just ignore the whole kitchen. And we're getting really, really farther and farther away from actually the celebration of food and the relationship building part of dining that that occurs with creating and serving food, as well as, you know, your stove is a prosperity generating item from a feng shui perspective in the home, no matter where it is. So
I didn't know that. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, the rich people have the 8-burner Viking ginormous thing, and the poor guy's got a little 1-burner hot plate, you know? So we're looking at the quantity of food that you can produce, which normally says something about the prosperity that you have the availability to serve more people, you know? Mm-hmm. So a little feng shui for prosperity tip would be to make sure your stove is clean at all times, make sure all the burners work. It's as up to snuff and ready to go as possible. And if you can add more burners, so much the better. But here's one of those simple little feng shui tips. If you only have 2 burners, let's say, place a small mirror somewhere nearby so you can reflect those 2 burners in the mirror, because in feng shui, which is really talking about energy and energy patterns, there's no difference between the subject or the reflection of it. So if you have 2 burners and you got a mirror, now you got 4. 4 burners, place a mirror, now you got 8. So you can actually produce a more likelihood of gaining prosperity by doing that little simple little feng shui tip by reflecting the burners.
I love that. I just love that. Karen, we're going to be taking a break in about a minute or so. Can you give us maybe another little kitchen tip before we take our break?
Well, let's see. A relationship building tip would be to not have your stove and your sink directly across the aisle from each other.
Okay.
So, if you're standing at the stove and directly behind you is the sink, a traditional cure would be to hang one of those leaded glass crystals from the ceiling between the two to disperse their energies, because one is fire and one is water, and we don't want the water to douse the fire, thereby putting out that potential for prosperity.
Wow. So you've just given us some two great tips for our kitchen, which we are in so much. Well, we are going to return for the second portion of our show, and we're going to be taking a very quick break right now, and we'll be back with Karen in just a bit. Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guest a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today. I'd like to welcome all of you back to our second part of our attitude adjustment show today with Karen. And we left off with some great tips for our kitchen. And Karen, I heard there's a map of feng shui. Can you explain what that is?
That is called the Bagua map. And it basically tells a feng shui practitioner where to look for particular situations in life in your space. So let's say you're having a prosperity issue, like you know money is just going down the drain, or you just, you know, you get it but you spend it more and then some, and mm-hmm. just any particular problem. Like I said, it all starts out with that initial conversation that really gets me honed in on exactly what to look for. So that's another little feng shui tip. Just listen to what you complain about and then go find it in your house. Like I just said, if it's going down the drain, you might actually have a drain right in your prosperity area. And that would be on this little map. It would be the back left portion of your house based on where you walk in the front door. So if you're standing on the threshold looking in your house, whatever is the farthest back to the left from where you're standing would be that prosperity area. So there's every situation in life, every body part, every organ in your body, every time of day, time of year. I cannot come up with anything that does not have a space and a place inside the Bagua. Whether you're the second, the middle child, the husband, the wife, there's a family member. I mean, can't even, you know, you just name it and I'll tell you where to go look for it in your house. So that's how that map works out. And it's a little bit, you know, we can't certainly cross everything off today in our little conversation, but just know that whatever's going on in your life is going on in your environment somehow, some way.
So you were saying when you walk into your home and it's the back left corner, does it have to be in your home or could it be outside your home, like in your yard, the drains in your yard? You're saying something going down the drain.
Right.
Or does it have to be actually in your home?
Well, let's say your back left corner is actually chipped out of your house. And, you know, maybe your house goes a little bit out farther in the middle back and the right back, but then the left back, it kind of chips in, and that's just the yard out there. That would be considered what's called a missing piece. So your house does not even have the capacity to hold energy there because it's now outside. And so there are, that's more of those advanced feng shui things that we might do.
Okay.
Something like that, you know, to energetically hold that capacity to do the prosperity. But remember our rule, what's closest to you has the most impact on you. So if your house has a missing piece, I would go to the left back area of every room in the house based on when you walk in the door and, you know, support those areas because those are closer to you. So your lot supports your house supports the rooms support the furniture, and the furniture supports you. So I care about the rooms, the furniture, and you quite a bit because they're so close to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember years ago, someone came into my office and they suggested certain things that I rearrange and certain things that I purchase. For example, I remember them saying I need water in a certain place and I needed a amethyst in a certain place and I needed a picture of a bird in a certain place. I mean, I'm giving you some broad information. Can you explain that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Well, depending on what what your request was or what she thought looked weak in your space if she didn't interview, which I think would be, missing half the conversation. But water, there are five elements in feng shui, mm-hmm. water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And basically, those are five descriptions of the way energy moves. And so everything in your space is some depiction of one of these five elements or some melding as they, it's called five energies going instead of the five elements. So they're always, you know, it's kind of like the circle of life. Everything sort of morphs into something and then, the leaves come out and bloom and they're all supple and moist and then fall comes and they get all crispy and dry. And so it's depends on where you catch the particular item. You know, was this wooden chair, 10,000 years ago, it was a tree, So we're looking at what are the, a slice in time, what would be the energy quality of the items in your house. And by adding water and plants and things like that, that's usually adding living objects and moving objects and actually the water symbol. Water is very much the quality of your water kind of also shows the quality of your prosperity as well. I know in the United States we don't even think about it, but 80% of the population of the world doesn't even have quality water. And just the poverty that goes with poor water quality. And we have to stop and think about that because we're just so used to it just being there constantly.
Sure.
But some people have, they have the toilets that never stop dripping or leaking or the sink with the rust in it or the hose.
Okay, explain that, Karen. What is it about the toilets?
Well, whenever the toilet is the villain of my book. If you've ever had a chance to read Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, people email me all the time and they're like, Karen, I've got a toilet. And I'm like, congratulations. No, but, it's just dealing with and understanding what to do with places that are designed to take things out of your house. We're trying to get good energy in your house and keep it of a good quality. And the toilets, which have now, there used to be like one in a house, back in the day.
Yes.
Then, oh my God, we'd have one
right.
In the powder room. And then, then it used to be Jack and Jill bedrooms for two bedrooms. Now it's like, who wants a Jack and Jill bedroom or bathroom? We all want, each bedroom has to have its own bath. It's getting crazy.
Exactly, exactly.
And we have now dedicated so much of our square footage of our house to the where energy goes out of the house. And people are not thinking about the repercussions of what they're doing to their house, given the fact that they're dedicating that much space to pulling energy away. And so the toilet is kind of like one of those, quote, negative little things that you might want to work on to hold your energy a little bit more. So we do things that would make the dirty water and things go away, but we want our energy to stay because
mm-hmm.
we have enough energy to have good relationships and career and prosperity and health and things like that. So the quality of your water. So if you have a leak, I would say it's worth spending the money. If you don't think you have any money to pay for the plumber, it's worth borrowing money to pay for the plumber, because it will stop the money from leaking away from you.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
They've got, you know, rich people have like fountains and lots of moving water, rich estates. There's always moving water around, right?
Yes.
You know, the slums, they might have stagnant water, you know, just poor quality water. So it's one of those rich house kind of, you know, cues that will tell you. And so if you want to have more of that in your life, you know how they say dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. I'm setting yes. your house for the life you want, not the life you have. So very much the same thing.
That is wonderful. That is really cool. So, Karen, you mentioned your book. Could you tell us just a little bit? I know you can't go into great detail, but just a little bit about your book and what made you decide to write the book and all that.
Well, I'm a landscape architect by formal training, and I really didn't have any intention of changing my life, you know, and becoming a feng shui consultant, but that's what happened.
And Karen, that's when we met years ago when you were in your previous employment.
Yeah. And I had a firm for 17 years, and then I wrote this book because I was so tired of trying to get through a feng shui book, and I just couldn't get to the end. It was so hard and frustrating. So my book, I really was just trying to write a book that people could actually get to the end of and actually do some stuff based on what they read, you know? And so I kind of did a laugh while you learn feng shui book, and I think it's, you know, done quite well. And so once, of course, I started moving my stuff, then it changed my life. And I couldn't be happier. You know, I would have said never in a million years, after all the work that I did getting my landscape architecture licenses, would I ever give up on it. But when you move your stuff, you find your perfect career. And I wasn't even looking.
Yeah, wow. That's great. So how can people contact you, Karen? How can people get your book and find out more about who you are, what you do?
Well, I would suggest them I have a free, it's called Position Yourself for Success, a little free webinar to watch. And that will tell you, remember when I was talking about the room supports the furniture and the furniture supports you. So I care about the furniture a lot because it's so close to you.
Yes.
So this particular webinar is just, you'll just be able to watch it and listen. And in less than an hour, you will totally get where to place your furniture for ultimate respect and, you know, just as you know, when you've got your back covered, you've pretty much like set yourself up in the environment to have as much success as possible. And so that webinar is all about how to position your furniture for success in every arena of life. And you would go to moveitwithkaren.com. And once you go to moveitwithkaren.com, you'll just type in your email address and you'll start getting my newsletters, which you can unsubscribe anytime. But that's the easiest way of just getting in the groove, because I send out little tips every month, and you can, like, you know, just learn through just reading a little bit and then just going to try it and experimenting with your feng shui things. And you can also buy the book, and, you know, I got a lot of programs and stuff too. But
wow.
To me, I feel like that's the simplest way for everybody to sort of get to know me and what I do, is to just to start out with the moveitwithkaren.com webinar.
That's wonderful. Now, Karen, we just have a couple minutes left to our show. And can you leave our listeners with two things they could do to improve their attitude today?
I would say, number one, get rid of any poor symbols in your house, things that bring you down. And once again, I'm, you know, it could be clutter and, but I'm thinking about those guilt trips, things that you're like, I should keep it because my kid made it. It's the only thing I have from Aunt Edna. I inherited it, blah, blah, blah. Once again, all guilt keeping you from where you want to be. It's, you know, it's your anchor to the past, not your freedom to the real you and the future. So I would say get rid of poor symbols. And then number two would be to cover your back and make sure you are positioned for success by having your furniture aligned with a nice solid wall behind you so we can see who's coming in the door. Everything that Position Yourself for Success talks about, that webinar, because to me, you can just have I'm ready to handle whatever comes my way because I know somebody's got my back. and that somebody is your environment. And whether there's people or not, at least if you set your environment up, you can proceed forward in life with, you know, with enough reserve energy to where you're not being taken down and feeling drained by life.
Sure. Oh, Karen, this was wonderful. And I hope that our listeners really go to moveitwithkaren.com. Watch her free webinar, Position Yourself as Success. I think there's so much more information. And unfortunately, we're out of time. So I thank you so much for being here and sharing your wonderful possibilities in the world. Thank you all for being with us today. We're the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You gain insights and inspiration from each of the guests I have. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, February 26th, with Rick Itzkowitz, the LinkedIn guy and creator of Link Power Coaching Program, Tools to Use for Social Media. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and my email is dr.iris@earthlink.net, and my website, www.driris.com. And I'd like to leave you all with a quote from Amelia Earhart. The most effective way to do it is to do it. Have a healthful day, everybody.
Under a tree, I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle.